From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The last U.S. combat brigade is out of Iraq 7 years after the invasion that ousted Saddam Hussein. Tens of thousands more American troops will remain after the August 31st deadline in a mainly training capacity, although they could be drawn into combat missions. NPR's Mike Schuster is in Baghdad, where he says Iraqi reaction's been mixed.
There's a fear here among Iraqis that the level of insurgency will increase. So I'd say the range of opinion among Iraqis goes from uncertainty to uneasiness to outright hostility toward the United States, because Iraqis hear Americans and American soldiers saying it's all over when, in fact, they don't believe that it's all over.
NPR's Mike Schuster. While U.S. troops leave Iraq, many are being redeployed to Afghanistan, where the NATO death toll is climbing as troops push into Taliban strongholds. The Associated Press reports at least 17 American service members have died in Afghanistan this month. The latest came yesterday in a bombing in southern Afghanistan. The UN General Assembly is holding a special meeting on the humanitarian crisis in Pakistan due to recent floods. Linda Fasula reports that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is expected to announce more U.S. aid.
UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is slated to brief the General Assembly on his recent visit to Pakistan and conditions on the ground. The meeting takes place as the UN raised its estimate of the number of people made homeless by the floods to 4 million. So far, just over half of a $460 million UN appeal for immediate relief has been pledged, and the hope is that more money will be offered as a result of the meeting. To that end, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is expected to announce a substantial increase in U.S. assistance from $90 million to $150 million. For NPR News, I'm Linda Fasulo in New York.
Tennessee emergency officials are assessing damage from floods yesterday and overnight. For member station WPLN, Blake Farmer reports dozens of roads have been closed and schools out for the day in Cookeville, an hour east of Nashville.
At least 38 roads around Cookeville were closed this morning, making it difficult to get around. Emergency Management Deputy Director Sharon Womack says 8.5 inches of rain made roads impassable.
Some of them are still underwater. Some of them is where the roadbed is completely washed out and given way.
Womack says the damage to her county is much worse than what it experienced during Tennessee's historic flooding in early May. A flood warning has been issued in Nashville, where the heavy rainfall from around the region is collecting in the Cumberland River. It's expected to crest near flood stage late tonight. For NPR News, I'm Blake Farmer in Nashville.
On Wall Street, Dow's down more than 180 points. This is NPR News. Roger Clemens is expected to be indicted for perjury. The former baseball pitcher is accused of lying to Congress about his use of performance-enhancing drugs. The heat wave that's gripped Russia for 2 months appears to be over. From Moscow, Peter Van Dyke reports cooler temperatures are helping firefighting efforts, and the number of wildfires burning across the country is down by 100 in the past 24 hours.
Temperatures in the Russian capital have returned to normal and are not expected to rise above the mid-70s today. The change was sudden. Yesterday was the hottest August 18th on record, the 23rd time since June a daily record has been set. Forest and peat bog fires near Moscow are almost all out, and the situation continues to improve in the rest of the country. The Emergencies Ministry says 313 fires are burning, but most are under control. More than 28,000 fires have been extinguished since the start of the summer. More than 50 people have died in the fires, but the toll from the heat and smog could run into the thousands. Figures from Moscow alone for this July show almost 6,000 more deaths than in July 2009. For NPR News, I'm Peter Van Dyke in Moscow.
It's been a year since a Lockerbie bomber was released from a Scottish prison and sent home to Libya after doctors thought he only had a few months to live because of cancer. One of those doctors, oncologist Graham Howard, said in a statement today that he and other experts were certain Abdelbaset al-Megrahi's prognosis was poor. A year later, the decision is still fueling protests from the U.S., Britain's new government, and the families of those killed in the 1988 bombing. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News in Washington.
Support for